Like a human being, they've made up of three parts. You have the body of man, you have the soul of man, you have the spirit of man. There you have the Godhead. You have the Father, the Bible says, and God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The Father is a spirit. The Holy Ghost, what is a ghost? Abraham gave up the ghost. Whenever Abraham died, his soul and spirit left his body. That's what a ghost is. It's a soul and a spirit. So you have a ghost, which is a soul and a spirit. That's what the Holy Ghost is. He's not a spirit. He is the Holy Ghost. He's not the Holy Spirit. There's places in your Bible. There's only one place in your Bible where Holy Spirit, and both of them are capital H and capital S, only one place in your Bible. Right. And it is a manifestation of the seven spirits of God in the Holy Ghost. And then you find where it's a lowercase H, Holy Spirit, with a capital S, the Holy Spirit of promise, another manifestation. Then you find in Psalms 51, verse 11, he said, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me," both lowercase H and S. So who's the Holy Spirit? That's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible said he's the Holy Ghost, and then you have Jesus Christ. He is a soul, he was a spirit, and he was a body. He had, his soul was made an offering for sin. He said, "Father, in thy hands I commend my spirit." He said, "Thou wilt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption," the body of Jesus Christ. And so he was made up of three parts. But you have the Godhead, you have the Father. He is his own person in the Godhead. And there's many things, if you study the Father, he's the Father of lights. He's the Father of glory. He's the Father of all living. Yeah, I mean, you go. He's the Father of those that believe. I mean, you go down the list. And there's many things about the Father that you'll find. And whenever three bore record from heaven, and what was the Father? What did the Father say? "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." That was the Father. And they say that the Father is just a manifestation. He is his own person in the Godhead. The Holy Ghost is his own person. He's as much God as Jesus is God. He's as much, the Holy Ghost is as much God as the Father is God. And they're all. And the Bible talks about Jesus Christ. He thought it not robbery to make himself equal with God. Why? Because Jesus was God in the flesh. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Right.
And when you saw him, you saw the Father. He said, "If I go away, I'll not leave you comfortless, for I won't come unto you again." And who is that? The Holy Ghost. He was the Holy Ghost in the flesh. And so we see the Father, he's brought out. He said, "According to the will of God and our Father." Then verse 5, "To whom be glory forever and ever." To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He said, "I marvel," in verse 6, "that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." And what was that grace of Christ? That a man is not saved by works. But he is not saved by works, but he is saved by faith without the deeds of the law. You go to Galatians chapter 2, it'll tell you again. Verse 16, "Knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." The Bible said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The Bible says in Titus, I believe chapter 3 and verse 5, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us." And called you from the grace of Christ. What is the grace? What is grace? Grace is God giving you something that you did not work for. Grace is God giving you something that you did not earn, that you do not deserve. And most people don't have a good understanding of the difference between grace and mercy. Grace is God giving you what you don't deserve. Mercy is God not giving you the judgment that you do deserve. And he said, "I marvel." Many people marveled at Jesus Christ. Whenever Jesus Christ came, they marveled at the things that he had done, for they had never seen it in this fashion. And here Apostle Paul, he's saying, I marvel this here so soon. How it happened so quickly. How so soon they were removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel.
Right.
This church at Galatia was taken, and where Paul came in and he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ to these people. And he preached the truth. He preached what Jesus Christ had revealed to him, to these people. And somebody else came in who were Pharisees, who were Jews. They came in to these Galatian people. And you'll find that you can't study Galatians 1 and 2, and I don't know the rest of it, but you cannot study Galatians 1 and 2 without studying Acts 15. You have to look at Acts 15. Who are they dealing with? There are certain Pharisees that came in along with Paul and Barnabas and Titus to Jerusalem. Whenever they came into Jerusalem, they were dealing with these Pharisees that were, what they were really doing is they were being critical of the gospel that Apostle Paul was preaching, how these Gentiles, you don't have to be circumcised to be saved. The Pharisees preached that these Gentiles would not be saved unless they circumcised their flesh. That they would not be born again, that they would not be saved. They had to circumcise their flesh or they would not be saved. There's a lot of things people do in that very same sense. There's people, you have to pray this prayer in order to be saved. Or you have to go to church. You have to be an avid church member. If you're not that, then you've never been born again. You can go to church all your life, but if you've never believed on the Son of God, you'll go to hell. And so there's all kinds of things people add to it. They're adding to what salvation was. And the Bible said in verse 7, which is not another, he said it's not another gospel. There's only one gospel. There's only one gospel. The one they're preaching is not another gospel. It's something false. And he said, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. There's some that trouble you. Remember, whenever the angels of the Lord would come down, there was a pool of Bethesda near Jerusalem. And whenever the angel of the Lord would come down, what would happen to the waters? They would be troubled. What would happen? They wouldn't be at rest. They'd be just kind of, whenever I went out to the Gulf Stream, if you go down to the Florida Keys, it's as calm as could be. I mean, it is just as calm the water is because there's no waves. But you get out to the Gulf Stream and it's like that. There's no rest. It's just turmoil. It's problems. That's what they did. The waves, I mean, you're in a boat, you're going like that, just for hours. And most people probably would get sick being out there, but that's what it is, to be troubled. To be troubled. Those waters were troubled. They did not have any rest. And, ladies and gentlemen, they brought trouble to these people. They brought a lack of peace. They tried to mess them up in their mind. They tried to disturb them in their mind. And trying to mess up their thinking. And he said that some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. They perverted it. Perversion, ladies and gentlemen, is whenever you take something that's good, that's holy, that or something that's innocent, and you take it and you make something vile out of it. And I've said it in here before. How many times have you been talking to people, and there's people that I know that are in my family, not in the house that I live in, and not in the house that I grew up in, but you could say things and you meant the absolute most innocent thing by it, and some person would say some of the most vile things. They would take an innocent thing that was meant for good, like the, for instance, you take the word gay. Whenever the word gay came out, the word gay is a good word. The word gay is an honorable word. But these people that are perverts, they took the word gay and they made something vile out of it. That's what it is to pervert something. To pervert a child is to take something, an innocent child, and to do something to that child that shouldn't be done. To to teach that child some kind of perversion, some kind of filth, as to make something that should be innocent corrupt and vile.
Right.
And that's what they did with the gospel of Jesus Christ. They took something that's pure. They took something that's right. They took something that will win you to Christ. They took something that's good. And they made it something that's vile. They made it something that's against God. They made it something that was despicable in the sight of God.
Yep.
And ladies and gentlemen, there's preachers all across our nation that have done that.
Sure.
They have perverted the gospel of Jesus. There's people in Baptist churches that have perverted the gospel of Christ. They've made the salvation, all it is that Jesus Christ, He did everything that He did, but all that He went through becoming sin, all you have to do is pray a little prayer. They've perverted the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right.
They've made all, there's no repentance. There's Baptist preachers that preach against repentance. Curtis Hudson, he wrote a book against repentance. Jack Hiles preached against repentance. Bible, he said he believed in repentance, but he didn't believe lost people had to do it. He said that lost people didn't have to repent. It was saved people that repented and lived the lifestyle of repentance.
Right.
But lost people didn't have to repent.
That's right.
That's what Jack Hiles preached. He perverted the gospel of Christ. I don't care if he preached for Sammy Allen. I don't care who he preached for. He perverted the gospel of Christ. They say he won over 1 million people to Jesus Christ. Grandma, have you ever met one? She's been in church all her life and hasn't met one convert. Been to Faith Baptist camp, ain't met one convert of Jack Hiles. He's won millions of people to God. He preached 3 times a day. He wrote a book about every month. He was Jesus Christ again in the flesh. You wouldn't believe it. You can preach 3 messages a day, have time to study for 3 messages, write a book on top of that, and you pray 8 hours a day. Come on.
He's good.
He's better than God, isn't he?
And if
he
asked,
that's what he said.
If he asked him a question, he would embarrass you.
Yeah. He perverted the gospel of Christ. Be honest with you. You go to his gravesite, there's a big Masonic obelisk. That's probably who was behind him in the first place. That was who was behind him. His tombstone is a Masonic obelisk. Person that started Hiles Anderson College, he's a Freemason. Anderson, but oh well. They perverted the gospel of Christ. And the Bible said this. They would pervert the gospel of Christ. That, and ladies and gentlemen, people would say, they would take somebody that preaches the Bible as what it really is. You're trying to confuse people. You've made things complicated. No, it isn't the people that preach what the Bible says that have complicated it. It's the people that have perverted the gospel of Christ. They're the ones who've complicated it.
They frustrate their grace.
The people that preach the gospel did not complicate it. People that preach repentance did not complicate it. People that preach 100% faith in Jesus Christ did not complicate it. Right. All these other people did. It wasn't complicated in the 1700s. It wasn't complicated in the 1800s. They preached it and they believed it. There was times where some of those men like John Wesley and all of them, they had to deal with people because them Catholics complicated it.
Sir, buddy.
Them Anglicans complicated it.
Sir.
What not. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're preaching the gospel, you're not the one complicating it. These perverts out here, they've complicated it. And they've messed it up and made something that it's not. And they've perverted the gospel of Christ. Verse 8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. He's talking about the gospel of the circumcision. Apostle Paul was given the gospel of the circumcision. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand, it was tough for Peter and those men. Peter, James, John, Philip, the list goes on,
right.
Jude. All those men had to preach to Jews that believed if you wasn't circumcised, you couldn't be saved. And it's a tough thing. How do you balance that out? How do you know that it's right to win the Gentiles, but at the same time, how do you win the Jews? Who would not listen to you if you preach that? How did he? It was tough for him. God gave Peter the gospel of the circumcision. He went and preached to those people that were circumcised. He went and dealt with them. They tried to push that circumcision onto the Gentiles. Some of those Jews did. The Apostle Paul, he was given the gospel of the uncircumcision. He explains it in Romans. I can't remember which chapter. But did Abraham receive his righteousness before or after he was circumcised? Did he receive it before or after he was... No, he received it before he was circumcised. He made that very clear. That man is not justified by his circumcision. He's not justified by the works of the law. He's not justified by doing these things. He is justified by faith. And the righteousness of God is imputed unto him when he believes Jesus Christ.
Right.
What kind of faith did Abraham have? He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. That he believed what God had promised he was able also to perform. And because that, he believed God like that, it was counted unto him for righteousness.
Sir.
He was circumcised as a token of his faith and what he believed in that covenant that him and God had with one another. But they're trying to push this onto the Gentiles. And this is what he said. As we have said, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed, let him be cut off. He said somewhere else that if these people that trouble you, I wish that they'd rather be cut off. I wish they were cut off. That they were dead. That trouble you, trying to mess you up. I wish they were gone. Let them be accursed. I wish they were put out. I wish they were dead. So that they didn't trouble you. I wish that you didn't have to go through this. And let them be accursed. And then he said this also, but in verse 8, but though we, Apostle Paul said, if I come to you, churches in Galatia, if I come to you and I preach something different than what I have, let me be accursed. Let Titus be accursed. Let Barnabas be accursed. If we preach something different than what we've already preached to you, let us be accursed. Then he said, if an angel from heaven, if Michael was to come down, sound the trumpet, and he was to say, you all have to be circumcised to be saved, let Michael be accursed. Let Michael be accursed. Not that Michael.
Please.
There's an angel in heaven named Michael. And he said, if there's an angel in heaven that came down and preached a different gospel than what I preached, let him be accursed. And there's other angels. Other people. You find a lot of those angels in the Bible. They were messengers. Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord sent messengers, which were angels, by his house. Tell him to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Those angels, they were messengers from heaven. And those angels, they're with us unawares. We entertain them unawares. Sometimes you don't even know that there are angels around you, but sometimes there's angels pop up here and there. And you entertain them unawares, you don't even know it. And what do? They take care of your body. That's what they did with Jesus Christ. Satan tempted Jesus Christ, took him on top of the top of the temple, and said, if you jump down, your angels will catch you. So that you don't dash your feet on the rocks. And that's what the angels did. They ministered to the physical. And there's other places in the Bible that you see that. He said, if an angel from heaven, he wasn't talking about the fallen angels. He wasn't talking. Why? Because Satan himself is able also to transform himself into an angel of light. Satan himself is able to transform himself into an angel of light. To deceive. And whenever they talk about the Muslim religion, I've heard it, I don't know, I'm sure it's true, that the prophet Muhammad, he saw a great big light, and that light spoke to him and told him all that. And that was Allah. Told him all that stuff to say. Told him all that stuff to write down. Saw a great big, what light was that? For Satan himself is able to appear as an angel of light. He said, let him be accursed. Let them be accursed if they preach another gospel. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. If I seek to please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And, well, there's, you know what, I'm going to go through a few things here. Of course, to please man, that means that you are a man pleaser. You'll find that in Ephesians 6, 5, and 8. They are men pleasers. Men pleasers. We'll read it real quick. Ephesians 6, 5 through 8. The Bible says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart, of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ. Doing the will of God from the heart. What is the servant supposed to do? He's supposed to be obedient to his master with singleness of his heart as unto Christ, not with eye service, not to please men, not doing it whenever his master's around, not doing it whenever people are around to please them, but doing it as unto the Lord. And if you're not doing that, then you're not much of a servant. You're not much of a servant. Don't have a servant's heart. And they pleased men rather than, there's many men that please men rather than pleasing God. He said, I should not be the servant of Christ. He said, if he is a man pleaser, he is not serving God heartily. That's what that shows us. If he is trying to please men, if he's trying to please men outwardly, he is not doing it as unto the Lord heartily. With all of his heart. But he's doing it as unto men. Not as unto God, as unto men. And Apostle Paul is preaching this contrary to what all the Pharisees say, contrary to what all the religious people say. He would rather please God than to please men. Rather please God. He said, if I go out to seek to please men, if I change my mind about this gospel that I preach, if I go and say, you all have to be circumcised now, I'm not a servant of Jesus Christ because I'm trying to please men rather than please God. And I should not be the servant of Christ. A servant. And if you want to study more about the servant, you can go to Leviticus 25. It tells you about the law of a servant. The Bible said this about a servant, you are bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 7, 21, verse 20 through 23. The Bible said, you are bought with a price. You're not your own. Therefore, glorify God. Not glorify men. Not please men. But glorify God in your body and in your members, which are God's. And that's what we're supposed to do. If you're bought with a price, you're not your own. You're not your own. Glorify God in your body and in your members, which are God's. And out of 1 Corinthians 6:20, I just want to read this. I don't even remember what it says, but I have it highlighted in my notes. Oh, there it is. That's the verse I just quoted. For ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They're God's. You don't belong to yourself. You don't belong to the world. You don't belong to the devil. You belong to God. Who are you serving today? Who are you serving today? Who are you serving? You're not your own. Are you serving yourself? If you're serving yourself, you're not a servant of God. If you're serving the world, you're not a servant of God. If you're serving the devil, you're not a servant of God. People claim all the time how much they love God, how much they're servants of God. They live in constant sin against God. They're a disgrace to the name of Jesus Christ. They're a disgrace to the church. They claim to be servants of God. They're not a servant of Christ. They're a servant of the devil. They blaspheme the name of God. They blaspheme the name of God. And ladies and gentlemen, he talked about these Jews who received the circumcision in Romans chapter 2 and all these things. That the Gentiles blaspheme God through you, you Jews. They blaspheme God because of what you're doing. Bunch of hypocrites. And he said, if I should please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Who are you serving today? Verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Paul said, this is not after man. This gospel of the circumcision, this didn't come from some man. I didn't sit down in the Bible college. I didn't sit down at the synagogue and the Jews taught me all these years. One day you're going to turn to the Gentiles and preach uncircumcision to them. He knew it wasn't revealed by flesh and blood. It was revealed to him by God. It was revealed to him by Jesus Christ.
Good.
He said, flesh and blood have not revealed it unto me, thee, but thy Father which is in heaven. That's what he told Peter. That's what happened to Apostle Paul. Flesh and blood didn't reveal it to him. He didn't sit down underneath Peter and Peter say, now you go to the Gentiles now, Paul. You go to the Gentiles and you preach to them now, Paul.
That's right.
Peter didn't tell him that. Barnabas didn't tell him that. What happened? For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it. He wasn't taught that. Who was he taught under?
Well,
Gamaliel's who he was taught under. Who was Gamaliel? He taught the strictest form of the law. The strictest form of it.
That's good, boy.
If you are uncircumcised, I can't sit down and eat with you because you're uncircumcised. I can't sit down with you. I can't come into your house. You're uncircumcised. I can't have anything to do with you because you're uncircumcised. That's the way Paul was brought up.
Yep.
He wasn't taught this by men. Peter, God tried to teach it to him too, and he still kind of struggled with it. He brought that veil down from heaven, and he had that pork on it. He said, kill and eat. He said, I haven't put anything unclean on my lips since the day that I was born. That's what Peter, God said, well, God hath cleansed, let no man call unclean.
That's right.
But God hath cleansed, let no man call unclean. God cleaned it. He said, if you bless it, you give thanks for it, then you can eat it. That's what he said in the New Testament.
Yeah.
But Peter, he struggled with it a little bit. He struggled with it even after Acts 15. And
thank
Apostle
God.
Paul had to set him straight on it.
Thank God. For that.
It's amazing when you study, these men were great men of God, but you find out they were men.
Right.
They were men. Mm-hmm. Peter was a man. Paul was a man. And those things that Paul needed to be straightened out about, those things Peter needed to be straightened out about, those things Barnabas needed to be straightened out about. They were men. They were men of God. Some people think that because they read a book by Harold Sackler that it's 100% right. Harold Sackler couldn't be wrong about anything. Peter was. He had to be straightened out on some things. But he wasn't taught this by men. He wasn't raised up to one day, he wasn't raised up in a school where they taught him one day, you're going to do this. No, they taught him to stay away from them people. He wasn't taught it by men. He wasn't taught it by Peter. He wasn't taught it by James and John and all the other apostles and Jude and all that. He wasn't taught it by them. And the Bible tells us this. For ye have heard of my conversation. Well, excuse me, verse 12, I'm sorry. For I neither received it of men, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Remember whenever you read Revelations 1:1, John, by the revelation of Jesus Christ, how did John see all the things that he saw? By the revelation of Jesus Christ. God revealed it unto him. Jesus revealed it unto him. And you know what? It wasn't against the Bible either. Some of these people, they claim they have these revelations. It's against the Bible, what the revelations are. Some people, they claim they had a revelation that they went to hell and they came back out. There's a great goal fix. so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. I'm pretty sure if you went down into hell for 23 minutes or 23 hours or however long that it was, there is a great gulf fixed so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. That revelation isn't so. Revelation isn't so. If you went to hell, you're going to stay in hell for all of eternity. You're not coming out of it. You're not coming out of it. Hell's going to be cast into the lake of fire. But then it said this, by the revelation of Jesus Christ. But then, go with me real quick to Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. It was revealed to him by Jesus Christ. As far as I know, I don't believe any other apostles saw it until Paul. I don't believe, because they all preached to the Jews. They were given to the Jews. But it was in the Old Testament that he would turn to the Gentiles. There's more than this. This is the only one I'm going to read. Behold, Isaiah 42, verse 1. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Huh. It was in the Old Testament. He was going to bring judgment to the Gentiles.
Right.
He was going to bring judgment to the Gentiles. And they would wait to hear his law. They wanted to hear his law. They were going to bring judgment to the Gentiles. The Jews, they rejected Jesus Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, as a result, the Gentile church was grafted in. They were grafted in.
Sir.
And he's not cast away all of Israel, for Apostle Paul was saved. And he saved some according to the election of grace. Go ahead and tell all them Calvinists out there that think everybody is elected to be saved that has nothing to do with the Gentile. Not one place in the Bible does it talk about the predestination and all that, referring to those Gentiles being elected before they were saved. He said that some were elected according to the election of grace. Who is he talking about? Was he talking about the Gentiles, or was he talking about the Jews? He was talking about the Jews.
That's right.
Talking about the Jews. And Apostle Paul, here he is. He said, He didn't go to Jerusalem and say, Peter, would you tell me what I need to believe now? No. He's going to tell us what happened. He said this, verse 13, for ye have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted. He said beyond measure. More than what they deserved. More than what was necessary. He said, I went above and beyond persecuting them. I went from house to house. He went from house to house finding out whether or not they were Christians.
Sir,
whenever he found out they were Christians, he'd throw them in prison and have them killed.
Sir.
He went beyond the call of duty. He went beyond the boys and girls that he went to, the boys that he went to school with at Gamaliel's. He went beyond all those men, all of his equals, all the people that were his age, all the people that had the same authority that he had. He went above and beyond all them. He even sent out for letters to go to Damascus to find Christians up there in Syria. He was going to find Christians in Damascus and take them down to Jerusalem and have them put in prison and killed. He said, beyond measure, I persecuted the church. Persecuted the church. He wreaked havoc in the church, the Bible said. Caused all kinds of problems.
That's right.
And you've heard of times past in the Jews' religion. What was the Jews' religion that he was in? He was in the strictest, most strict order of the Jewish religion. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. People run their mouths about Pharisees, by the way. Apostle Paul said, I am a Pharisee and the son of a Pharisee. He was born again and he was a Pharisee. People run their mouths about him. Oh, he's a Pharisee. Well, so was Apostle Paul. He was a Pharisee. It's not a Pharisee, it's a hypocrite.
That's right.
It's a hypocrite.
That's the
Pharisee problem. Believed in the resurrection. Apostle Paul believed in a resurrection.
Amen.
And he said, I'm a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. It's just funny, I hear people say, I've heard preachers preach on stuff about Pharisees and being a having a Pharisee. Well, Apostle Paul had a Pharisaical attitude. He believed in the resurrection, didn't he? He said he was a Pharisee. That's what he said. He didn't say he was a hypocrite, though. He didn't say he stood in the street corners, broadened his phylacteries and all that.
That's right.
But then it said this, he profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals. Oh, excuse me. And he wasted it. He wasted the church. He persecuted the church.
Yep.
Persecution is whenever somebody... Now listen. When somebody basically attacks you for what you believe, comes after you because of what you believe. Some people believe I'm so persecuted, but they're a loudmouth idiot. I'm going to be a loudmouth idiot whenever I'm going through it because everybody hates my guts. I'm being persecuted.
It's good.
Because I don't know how to shut my mouth, I'm being persecuted.
Yep.
No, that's not persecution as far as what the Bible tells it. It's whenever you're being attacked, whenever people are trying to kill you, people are throwing you in prison, people are running their mouths about you, reviling you, saying all manner of evil against you falsely. For what cause? The cause of Christ. For my name. For my name.
All right.
He didn't say because you're a loudmouth idiot. He said, because you're doing something in my name, people run their mouths and hurt you and say all manner of evil and accuse you falsely and all that. But he said, I persecuted and wasted it. I wasted it. And it's kind of like persecution. And what happened is the Bible said that he made havoc in the churches. And whenever you look at Leviticus 26:31, it is to cause it to be desolate. He wanted to take the church and he wanted to completely annihilate it. He wanted them to be empty. And you look at 2 Kings 19:25, it talks about to making it ruinous heaps. Ruinous destruction, Psalm 91:6. And you look at Isaiah 1:5-9, it is a picture of being laid waste. He said, your cities are burned with fire, your land strangers devour your presence, and it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. The daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. That's what Apostle, he came in, and he came in to hurt, came in to destroy, came in to make it desolate, came in to ruin it, and to wreak havoc. And he wasted it and profited it. In the Jews' religion above many of my equals, he profited in it. I guess there's more than one way, but I know he dealt with lust. He said, I had not known lust except the law. It said, thou shalt not covet. Profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceeding zealous of the traditions of the fathers. It's like when Jesus came, talking about those traditions of the fathers, when Jesus came, they went to a feast and they didn't wash their hands. And, you know, all the Pharisees, they got mad and said, oh, we perceive that your disciples didn't wash their hands. They're eating with unclean hands. Oh, how blasphemous. Oh, how wicked this is. Jesus said that they sin against God through their traditions.
Yep.
They sin against God through their traditions. They make these traditions and they take their own ideas. They take their own standard. They take their own doctrines that they came up with. The Bible said they shall heap unto themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall be turned from the truth, shall be turned unto fables. These people, they're going to do their own thing. They're going to make up their own ideas. They're not going to follow what the Bible says. And they're going to come up with their own little traditions outside the Bible and accept those traditions over the Word of God. That's what these people did. And they said, our hearts are near to God. Jesus said, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Mm-hmm. And that's what they did. The traditions of their fathers. And you could go through the Bible and look at those traditions and different things that they did. Verse 15, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, It pleased God. He separated me from my mother's
womb. Amen.
Whenever he was brought into this world, ladies and gentlemen, he was in the womb of his mother. God said, I know him. God said, I know him.
That's good.
When he was in the womb of his mother, God knew him. And so he separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. And why? To reveal his son in me, to make manifest. That's what it is to reveal, to make it manifested, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Who is that heathen? It is those Gentiles.
Sir.
Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. He didn't go sit down and have some conference and let somebody talk to him about it and to see whether or not these things were so. When God said it, that settled it in his heart. He didn't confer with flesh and blood. Well, look, let's go see what Peter has to say, because this might be wrong. He conferred not with flesh and blood.
Good.
But what did the Bible say? He conferred not with flesh and blood. But neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. He didn't go up to Jerusalem to all the apostles before him. By the way, Apostle Paul was the apostle that was born out of due time. And what does that mean? He came in a little bit late. He came in a little bit late. He came in after, and God made him an apostle. But I went into Arabia. He went out over into Arabia. If you look on a map, Arabia is that space. Mount Sinai is in Arabia. You head very far south below Israel. You'll find Mount Sinai. But to the east of Israel was where Arabia was. He went out there. He went out there without the Jews and without all the religious people. He said, I returned again into Damascus. He went up to Damascus. That was north of Israel. That was in Syria. And I believe Damascus today is the capital of Syria. And that's where Apostle Paul went. He went up and returned again into Damascus. He was already in Damascus before. That's where he got saved. On the road to Damascus, he was carried into Damascus by some of his servants, and all that stuff transpired, and he ended up receiving a sight, went out into Arabia for a period of time, came back into Damascus. He's making it clear. I didn't receive this from men. I got this from God. He's making it clear. He's telling them, ladies and gentlemen, how transparent. I wish our government could be this transparent. He's opening everything up. This is what happened. I have nothing to hide. I have nothing to hide. I'm telling you exactly how it was. You know what? You can go over there in the book of it. You can go to the other apostles and ask them what happened. See if I went to Jerusalem. I'm telling you the truth. And then after three years of being in Arabia and Damascus, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and abode with him 15 days. He was with Peter 15 days. But other the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the apostles was Jesus' brother, James.
Yeah.
And you look at the book of James. Who wrote that? James was already killed in the book of Acts early on. He was killed on Easter. James, the apostle, the brother of John, he was killed on Easter. And then you have James, the Lord's brother, who was also an apostle. Who was James' brother? It was, I believe, Jude. It was this James' brother. And now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Before God, he said, God is my witness. God's before God. God can stand and witness everything that I'm saying. I say these things before God Almighty. I lie not. He's telling the truth. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. Came to the regions of Syria and Cilicia. Cilicia was where he was born in Tarsus. And was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. If they would have saw Apostle Paul, the only thing that they ever knew about him is what he had done. They witnessed what he had done. They heard about the things that he'd done persecuting the church. But if Apostle Paul would have walked in the midst of the church, they wouldn't know who he was. They wouldn't have a clue who he was. He was unknown to them by face. And he was unknown in the churches of Judea. You know that that's in Jerusalem and Bethlehem, all that area. That is Judea. And which were in Christ, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past, now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. But they heard only that the one that used to persecute us, the one that was stolen us in prisons, he's now preaching this faith. What is this faith that he's preaching? That a man is not justified by works, but by faith. He's not justified by his works, but by faith. That's the faith of Christ. The faith of Christ was the one he began to preach. And which once he destroyed, you look at the word destroyed, you study through your Bible. That means to wipe it out completely. Whenever God was going to destroy man from off the face of the earth in Noah's day, what did he do? He completely wiped them out. He destroyed them. Whenever Sodom and Gomorrah, being so vile as they were and sinning against God, God said, I will destroy them. I'll send fire and brimstone. So he destroyed them with fire and brimstone and destroyed the whole entire city. Apostle Paul's desire was to take this faith of Jesus Christ, the faith of Jesus Christ, and make it non-existent. His desire was to take it and absolutely wipe it out completely. Nobody would preach this gospel. Nobody would say these things about Jesus Christ. And guess what? They've been trying to do that ever since.
Sure.
In fact, they took them Jews many times over in Russia. Because they were communists, they tried to overthrow Tsar Nicholas's government. They would take them Jews and kill them by the millions.
Yep.
Killed them by the millions.
Yep.
They took those Jews over there in Germany and Poland and down in Austria, Hungary, and all those places, Austria, and down in the Czech Republic. They took all those Jews in those places.
Sorry, buddy.
They sent them on trains to concentration camps, and they wanted to annihilate them. They said, oh, we'll figure out how to make God's promises of no effect.
Right.
Oh, we'll figure it out. Guess what? Adolf Hitler's burning in hell today.
Right, buddy.
And Jews are still walking on. Tsar Nicholas is probably in hell today.
Word of God, still marching
on. Marching up and down the streets of New York City. Sure. They're over there in that land of Israel.
Right.
Tried to annihilate them through the centuries. God's word still stands. They've tried to take the precious word of God down through the centuries. They said, oh, we'll take some of them Anabaptists. We'll cut their heads off and put them on stakes.
Yep.
They won't be able to preach this gospel anymore.
Sorry.
Oh, but one day a man named John Bunyan got born again and preached the gospel. Oh, we'll shut him up and throw him up somewhere in a prison.
Sorry about it.
Then one day, John Wesley, they said, oh, we'll shut them all up. We'll even form our own church. You have to preach what we say, think what we say. One day, a man named John Wesley stood up and preached. They said, oh, I tell you what we'll do. We'll gather him up. We'll gather all his people up. We'll hold him down. We'll beat him in the face until he quits preaching the gospel.
Right.
Jesus Christ. Guess what? We're still preaching it today.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Nietzsche, he said, oh, God's dead. Nietzsche's in hell today. Guess what? We still have God to deal with.
Man.
Nietzsche's burning in hell. Still have God to deal with. Still have this word of God to deal with. Oh, we'll do away with the word of God. That's what they've said through the centuries. We'll do away with the Jews. We'll do away with the Christians. These big billionaires that can do everything they want to, they can throw us in concentration camps, they can do whatever they want. But until God takes the church out, there's going to be Christians walking on the face of the earth.
Yep.
And there ain't one thing they can do about it. I don't care how much money they got. I don't care how many armies they form. I don't care how many things they... I don't care how many governments come up against Christ, come up against God. Ladies and gentlemen, they'll still be Christians.
Right.
I'll tell you what happened. Apostle Paul, he decided he was going to annihilate Christians. He ended up getting born again himself.
Sir.
You know, people over there in ISIS, we're going to wipe Christians out of the Middle East. Ladies and gentlemen, God has enough power to take one of them leaders in ISIS and make them born again. God has the power to do that. God has the power to save some of them Muslims so they can go preach to some of the Muslims, maybe, and probably get their heads cut off or be burned. God has the power to do it.
Sir.
To preach the faith which he once destroyed. What happened? They glorified God in me. His testimony. They saw this and they glorified God. They lifted up the name of God. What is it? They praised. He that offereth praise glorifieth me, the Bible said. They begin to praise God. They said, oh, we saw what happened in Apostle Paul's life. Man, he used to kill us. He used to throw us in prisons. He was trying to annihilate us. And look what happened now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Apostle Paul's been born again. Apostle Paul's been saved. Hallelujah. God is worthy. Hallelujah. God is able to do what is exceeding and abundantly above all we ask or think. There's people that still want to wipe out Christianity. God's able to save them.
Sir.
God's able to save them. God has the ability. God has the power. He did that in the life of Apostle Paul.
Sir, buddy.
What he was given was not by man. It was given by God. It was given by the revelation of God. It wasn't something that just came out of, popped up out of man. Flesh and blood didn't reveal it to him, but our Father which is in heaven revealed it unto him. Our Father. And that's Galatians 1. There's a lot of stuff I just went over, kind of skimmed through it for time's sake. But